Greetings once again, my friends. My name is Doug McBurney, and you may have heard the news, but stand by now for the Worldview. That's right, this is the show that you've been waiting for. It's the show where we don't take calls, we don't tolerate sponsors, but we do focus your attention on the events of the week through the lens of original thought. We're glad to have you here in the bowels of the McBurney compound. We go worldwide via the World Wide Web, unconstrained by the traditional bounds of the broadcast media, with listeners as far away as hither and nigh, as a matter of fact, and we have documented evidence of that. That we'd be happy to provide to anyone upon demand. Now, this week has been quite an interesting week, what with the wholesale collapse of the state of affairs, the stasis, you might say, between the United States and Cuba. We'll get to some of that. That was kind of shocking. I wonder how much Barry can get done before the Republicans are sworn in as the majority in the Congress in 2015. He may actually surrender us to someone. He may actually officially surrender before the Republicans take over. Although I don't know why he needs to be in a hurry. The Republicans seem to be happy to work with him. But that's all higher level stuff. All of that. I just read just before airtime that the Kurdish Peshmerga in northern Iraq and Syria have liberated Mount Sinjar. Remember the Yazidis who were trapped on Mount Sinjar during one of Barry's golf outings back in the summer? And Barry came off the golf course and announced that we were going to rescue those Yazidis. Well, he didn't. He sent some supplies and he rescued a few of them. I think they sent in one helicopter, had people hanging off the skids a la Vietnam. I remember seeing the video and then Barry going back to the golf course, and Kerry going back to whatever he does, Hillary going on to do whatever she's doing. And as far as the average American was concerned, the Yazidis were liberated, saved by America. But they weren't. They've been stranded on that mountain, surrounded. Hundreds of them, perhaps thousands, have been surrounded by the Islamic State fascist Nazi Islamic fascists ever since the summer. They've still been there. Well, today, just today, last night probably, American air support led the Kurdish Peshmerga to liberate finally Mount Sinjar. And then the average American stands up and says, yes, we love the Peshmerga. Go Peshmerga. Go Peshmerga. And the average American has no idea who the Peshmerga are. Well, I'll tell you who they are. They're the army who is currently the beneficiary of American air support. Americans are dropping bombs so that the Peshmerga can take territory. Well, I'll tell you a little bit about the Peshmerga. I don't know too much, not a historian. But the Peshmerga are a tribal band of raiders who've been at war with either Iraq, Iran, or each other, at least since World War I. They've been constantly in a state of war against someone. And right now, the Islamic State happens to be who they are at war against. And since we don't like them, we've decided we like the Peshmerga. So we have American airmen flying missions in support of one particular brand of Islamic army. Oh, yes, the Peshmerga are Islamic. And Islam is the declared enemy of Christianity. I know this because in the Peshmerga regions, they institute various forms of Sharia law. They subjugate their women. They're Islamic. And so the vacuum in American leadership leads to the civilized world relying on the uncivilized to do the civilized thing and defeat the Islamic State. And it's embarrassing on one level to know that we have fallen so far, both us and the Brits, frankly, and the Canadians, the Australians, the great powers that won World War II, are relying on a bunch of desert raiders, bandits, for crying out loud, to fight our war for us. And it's just sad. It's embarrassing. But it's also dangerous. It's dangerous because this vacuum is only going to get bigger and bigger. And this isn't going to end well. But we're happy that the Yazidis and whoever was trapped on Mount Sinjar, we're glad that they're actually off the mountain, or at least getting ready to come off the mountain. And we're glad that many ISIS fighters have been killed. We're very happy about that. We may raise a toast to that after the show, as a matter of fact. But meanwhile, back at the home front, well, where should I? Well, let's go to Federal Heights here in Colorado, because me and my extremely attractive audio engineer, we have a connection, sort of, to this story. What? We almost have a connection to this story. In Federal Heights, at one point in our career, we dwelt almost in Federal Heights, which is a suburb of Denver. It's the real high-end suburb. It's okay. It's not the highest end suburb of Denver, but it is a suburb of Denver. And we were so poor when we first got married that we couldn't even afford to live in Federal Heights. We had to live in unincorporated on Hooker Street, as a matter of fact. But that aside, Federal Heights every year has a Christmas lights contest for all the businesses in Federal Heights. So all the liquor stores, the tattoo shops, the pawn shops, the Mexican restaurants, right? The warehouse grocery stores, the used tire shops, they all compete in the Federal Heights Christmas lights contest. And the winner gets $100. Well, it's Federal Heights. But it's more about the spirit of the season. It's more about promoting goodwill, peace. No free liquor. No. Well, it is Federal Heights. There might be free liquor involved. Federal Heights has been on the decline, as far as I know, since we left.
No.
Since we moved out of the area. It hasn't been good in Federal Heights. Well, Federal Heights, Colorado, has hit a new low because the Christmas lights contest this past week was won by a strip club. The city fathers and mothers in Federal Heights went in public, had a press conference in front of God and everybody, and gave the prize to the owner of the strip club, who looks like he looks like the illegitimate bastard son of Hugh Hefner, and who's that other fat chicken molester? That Hustler magazine guy. Anyway, we won't even give him any. Won't even mention his name. But anyway, that's who this strip club owner looked like. And the strip club owner, of course, graciously donated the $100 prize to charity. That's what I said that in the press conference. At last, as we go to air, Charity was not able to be reached for comment because she was working at the time. So that's what's happening around Colorado. It's, you know what it is? It's Federal Heights, the Fed. Quantitative sleazing is what it, yes. That's what it's quantitative sleazing going on at the Fed, at Federal Heights, here in Colorado. Just disgusting. Even if the local liquor store didn't have quite the light display, at least the city fathers, I would have given it to a Mexican restaurant just to promote a family business. It's a family holiday, for crying out loud. They were interviewing people coming out of the strip club on the news as if it's a legitimate business. People come out, oh, we're just so happy that they won. It really gives us the spirit of the season. You're coming out of a strip club, you freak. You're 50 years old. You got a wife and kids at home, maybe grandkids. You're not embarrassed at all. No, he's not embarrassed. Elway wasn't in that night. It wasn't John Elway that particular evening. You don't think he hangs in Federal Heights?
No.
Now? You might be right about that. But we need to move out of the local news because we don't want to lose our national audience and our international audience. For all of you out there waiting for national and international news, we are going to get to that. We've covered the Peshmerga for, you know, that's fairly international. Well, and then, of course, we have this disturbing story out of New York City. Two police officers sitting in their car, executed by Eric Holder and a gangster from Baltimore who had, apparently he had murdered his girlfriend and decided to kill a couple of police officers before killing himself. What's that? Eric Holder? Yeah, did I say Eric Holder? Oh, well, I don't think Eric Holder was directly involved. No, I think I meant the mayor of New York, de Blasio. De Blasio, yeah. Mayor de Blasio, that's who I meant. Well, no, I don't know if he was actually there, but it's Eric Holder and de Blasio who have been hammering this false narrative about police brutality. And so what else makes a gangster thug who kills his girlfriend, what makes him decide to take out a couple of police and then kill himself? Well, the killing himself, we know what that's due to the overall acceptance of suicide throughout American society as a solution to problems. We see an epidemic of murder-suicide throughout the country, so that in and of itself is shocking, horrible, but not really surprising. But the killing of the two police officers can be related directly to this false narrative surrounding Michael Brown and the other guy, the guy in New York, the guy selling cigarettes who wouldn't listen to the cops and end up getting himself killed. The rhetoric that has been bantied about at the highest levels of government has now led to an act by one of their minions, frankly. One of the people produced by the proctocracy and propagated by the likes of Barack Obama and Eric Holder and de Blasio, whatever his first name is. I don't know what de Blasio's first name is. Maybe I should look it up. Actually, I just don't care. I'm disgusted that these two... Oh, by the way, families and friends of these police officers, along with the head of the Police Benevolence Association there in New York, have told de Blasio and other governing officials to stay away from the funerals. They don't want de Blasio to come. Yeah. Good. Finally, someone stands up to these people. It's disgusting. Makes me sick. All right. Now, we'll go to the bad religion file. John Hickenlooper, who is the appropriately named governor of Colorado. You can only pronounce his name if you're stoned. Hickenlooper? Oh. Dude, that's so funny, man. Is that really your name, dude? All right, John Hickenlooper said at a lunchtime speech last week that individuals can't educate young people well, if at all, themselves. Basically an attack on homeschooling parents. This story out of redstate.com, which is a website about red state. I can't remember if red is bad or red is bad, right? That's the communists? No, wait a minute. Blue is bad. I can't. I need to watch more Fox News, and I would be up to speed on all this. I thought red was bad, that it was communist, but Red State presents itself as a secular conservative website for all of you fiscal conservatives out there. The author of the Red State article says that Hickenlooper's assertion, try to say that three times fast. The author at Red State says Hickenlooper's assertion might offend you, he says, as if he knows who's reading his article. He's a good writer, yeah. Well, we here at the McBurney compound, we take it as a personal compliment that John Hickenlooper disagrees with the way we raise our children. We take it as a badge of honor when godless humanist socialists like John Hickenlooper, who are responsible for the destruction of countless lives, fortunes, and the state of Colorado and eventually the United States of America, we take it as a badge of honor when they come out at cross purposes with us. So we welcome Hickenlooper's statement because it draws a clear line between us and them. Now, Colorado State Senator Owen Hill, who's the incoming chairman of Colorado's Senate Education Committee. All right, now just let me stop there. Colorado's Senate Education Committee. Nothing against Senator Hill. I don't know much about him. I think he's a fairly good guy. He's a conservative guy. But he's chairing this Senate Education Committee, which is basically a committee that allows senators to create patronage jobs for their friends, relatives, donors, and mistresses so that they can sit around and study education. Yeah, and what do they produce that's good for society? Nothing. Not a thing. Meanwhile, my extremely attractive audio engineer and I, we actually produce education right here in our house every day, and we do it in addition to our full-time jobs. And yet we've got patronage jobs over at the State House at the Colorado Senate Education Committee. We're here to have a committee to study improving education for Colorado's children. And they've been doing that for roughly 130 years. And what have they achieved? The ruination of education throughout the state of Colorado. Thank you very much. And Owen Hill, if I were him, I would renounce the committee and I would refuse to chair it because it's a net destructive force. But I wanted to get to his comments, okay? And I know I'm going a little long. Hang with me here. State Senator Owen Hill says in regards to Hickenlooper's comments there, here's what Senator Owen Hill has to say. Quote, "I hope to be able to work with the governor's office in the upcoming legislative session." Okay, so stop right there, Owen. See, this is the problem with the modern Republican Party. When they disagree with people who are hell-bent on evil and destruction, like John Hickenlooper, they always have to preface their disagreement by saying something nice to these people. I'm sick of being nice to these people, and I'm sick of electing people who are nice to these people. These people are not nice. John Hickenlooper is evil incarnate. He's a socialist and a humanist. He hates God. He hates the Bible. He hates homeschoolers. He hates Jesus Christ, and he's evil. And Owen Hill should not hope to be able to work with this communist bastard in the upcoming session. He should vow to destroy everything John Hickenlooper stands for. The Weekly Worldview, and I am Doug McBurney, along with you. And so glad that you're here, John Hickenlooper. He thinks he's still living in the 60s. Well, whatever. It's worse than the 60s. It's like the 60s with legalized pot for all the stoners. And that serves Hickenlooper's purpose as well. Yeah. All right, I'm sick of it. All right, now, more from Colorado, because, hey, We're an interesting state, if nothing else. If you're looking for a barometer of the decline and fall of Western civilization, you can calibrate it right here. In Denver, the parents of Aurora Theater shooting suspect James Holmes, this is according to the local CBS News, They published a letter to the Denver Post. That's our big newspaper here in Colorado. Circulation in the hundreds at this point. They wrote a letter to the Denver Post begging that their son be spared the death penalty. This is the guy who shot and killed 13 and injured 70? He opened fire inside of a movie theater, okay? Need I say more? His parents, instead of doing what they should do, which is leave the state and just try to find somewhere to live out their lives in anonymity, and grieve and experience the deep shame of what their son has done. Instead of that, they're going to stand up in public and write a letter. Say he should be spared from the death penalty. They say he is not a monster. They say he's a human being gripped by severe mental illness. He's got mental illness. And of course, I agree with them. I believe he is suffering a mental illness. And of course, he should be killed sooner rather than later. After a fair trial, which we can't seem to do here in Colorado. In fact, James Holmes' parents say they've spent every moment of the past 2 years since the shooting thinking about the victims. Yeah, right. They've been thinking about the victim. We've all been thinking about the victims for 2 years because there hasn't been a trial. It's insanity that a guy can open fire inside of a movie theater, be jumped on by the cops in the back of the theater with everybody's blood all over him with guns in his hands, confessing to the crime 2 years later, more than 2 years later. He hasn't gone on trial. Yeah, right. A barometer of the decline and fall of Western civilization. Well, after Holmes told the police what he had done, and he had the guns and the blood all over him and all that, he then was allowed by the proctocracy to plead not guilty by reason of insanity, which in itself is insane. That's insane. All right, let me try to calm down because I'm very upset about this. James Holmes' parents say a plea deal that would put him in prison for the rest of his life would keep everyone safe and avoid a traumatic trial. They're so nice. They don't want the victims' families to have to relive the horror of that night. You know, that almost sounds like a threat to me from the family of James Holmes. Well, look, if you'll let us, you know, do what we want, we won't put you through a traumatic trial. I think every family member involved, including every citizen in the state of Colorado, we long for the day that we can put James Holmes on trial. We're begging to put him on trial. And I'll bet you if you polled half the people in this state, at least 50% of the men would volunteer to kill him ourselves. I know I would. The parents conclude their letter by saying, the focus should be on the injured and their healing. Now, a note to the parents of James Holmes. Killing your murderous son, who's so despicable that you should disown him, for crying out loud. If a member of my family opened fire in a movie theater and just murdered people at random, I would disown that family member. I would be in shock, first of all. I'd be stunned. But nobody has any shame anymore. You don't have to be ashamed of anything anymore. When did that happen? I guess it's been creeping, crawling, festering, metastasizing. It's all a part of the quantitative sleazing of America. Yes, killing James Holmes, Mr. and Ms. Holmes, is an absolutely necessary step toward the healing of not only the victims, but everyone in Colorado who wonders, is there any such thing as justice anymore? Because when society's not sure that there is justice, and that the evil and the criminal will be punished, well, then the marginal people in the society are more likely to become criminal and do criminal acts and hurt one another because there's no sure justice. And every day that James Holmes sits and eats his dinner on my dime, It eats away at my faith in justice here in Colorado. And I think I have every right to feel that way, as does everyone else in the state of Colorado. And once the trial is over, we will all have the right. As the Bible says, give place to wrath. And the place for wrath will be with the executioner upon James Holmes, Lord willing. All right, speaking of the death penalty, Pakistan, the nation of Pakistan, you may not have been aware of this. I was not aware of this. The death penalty, there's a moratorium on the death penalty in Pakistan in 2008. Why? I can't. The only thing I can imagine is they're trying to get more welfare money from the West, and they weren't willing to go gay. But they, because I mean, it, you know, there's some things that Pakistanis you just can't do. But if you want welfare money from the West, from Europe and the United States, there's a few things you can do. Build abortion clinics, build gay bars, or eliminate the death penalty. Any one of those will guarantee you more welfare money from the Western democracies. Yeah. But Pakistan, they wouldn't go gay, and abortion is still frowned upon, at least publicly in Pakistan. So they decided to go with the death penalty. Well, we'll put a moratorium on the death penalty, and everybody at the New Yorker magazine will like us. They'll think that we're nice people. But they were so shocked by last week's slaughter of over 140 children and staff at a school in Peshawar that the government has lifted the prohibition against the death penalty specifically for people involved in this particular attack. And what's ironic about this story is that knowing about the moratorium on the death penalty actually helps explain why Pakistan is such a hellhole, and why this attack was carried out, and why the Taliban and Islamist fascists are allowed to fester and multiply there. Because they've put a moratorium on the death penalty, and allowing murderers to live in your midst eventually leads you to hell. If a government allows murderers to live, then eventually they will be governing in hell. And Pakistan is probably as close to hell as you can get on earth. Well, actually, the entire Islamic world is as close to hell as one can get. You have oppressive religion, a false religion, incredible legalism, where you have to follow the rules or, you know, they'll cut your hands off. And you end up going straight to hell with jet rockets at the end of it all. So the Islamic world is a version of hell. Another thing that leads to hell is the unjust application of the death penalty. See, that's the problem in the Islamic world for the most part. In Pakistan, they try to kiss up to the West by putting a moratorium on the death penalty. In most of the Islamic world, they simply administer it unjustly, mostly against women whom they have seduced. Governing officials seduces a woman, they have an affair, suddenly she's executed for adultery. So that is hell on earth, in my opinion. And now we understand a little bit more about why things are so awful in Pakistan. Now, speaking of hell, this comes to us from the Just What Detroit Needed file. Dateline Detroit from WWJ and the Associated Press. Dozens of suspected killers, rapists, and others have been released into Detroit because of a backlog of unsigned warrants. Yes, they're not able to fill out the paperwork quickly enough. So suspected killers, rapists, and others who the police arrested on suspicion of these type of crimes, they've been released due to too much paperwork. Yeah, 21 for murder, 105 for sexual assault, and 126 suspected of child abuse have all been released into Detroit. You see, the law requires that a person who's arrested can't be held beyond 72 hours without being arraigned. Well, the county prosecutor there in Wayne County says, well, the releases are a result of too few employees in her office. She says, we've lost half our staff. It's Detroit, for crying out loud. We're not able to fulfill our mandated functions, says the county prosecutor of Wayne County, Detroit, Michigan. Can you believe that? She says she can't fulfill. Now, if there's anything that's truly an obligation of the government, it's justice. Welcome back. It's the Weekly Worldview. That's, yes, that one goes out to the, who is that? Wayne County prosecutor. Kim, Prosecutor Kim out there in Detroit says you just can't keep up. Meanwhile, we go to the Just What Chicago Needed file from WLS in Chicago. This past week, a van crashed into the Neiman Marcus on the Magnificent Mile in a smash-and-grab robbery. And the police chased these guys, but they eventually called off the pursuit due to high speeds. That's sad that that has to happen. But, they, you know, for the safety of the population, they had to stop. Now, this is the seventh smash-and-grab in the Chicago area since September. But authorities say it's not clear if the incidents are related. Okay. So it's very clear to me that the instances are related. Absolutely they're related. And what they're related to is the lack of fear on the part of common criminals, burglars, to smash and grab right there in broad daylight. So they are related. I mean, these guys might not know each other and they might not be working together. But it's the failure of the justice system in Chicago that makes all these cases related. These guys flat out aren't afraid to smash a van through the plate glass window of a Neiman Marcus. I mean, that's pretty brazen. I would have to sit down with the city fathers there in Chicago, including the godfather himself. What's his name? Rahm Emanuel. I'd have to sit down and say, look, what this is related to is your utter failure. You should all be deported, sent to Tanzania or somewhere else that could use some corrupt, graft-ridden officials like yourselves. And we should institute a real government here in Chicago where the people aren't afraid to walk around on the streets at night and where the criminals are terrified to carry out their criminal behavior. So, yes, they are related. They're related to the aforementioned decline and fall of Western civilization. Customers shopping on the Magnificent Mile interviewed by WLS, they say, well, it's a sign of the times. And they say they're not scared away from shopping. Yeah, okay, that's what they say. And I guess you do get used to it after a while, you know. Smash and grab happens there. You know, you get on the L on the way home. Somebody gets robbed at gunpoint. It's all just a day in the life of someone living in Chicago, I suppose. Although I don't really believe that they're not scared, because it scares me, and I'm really a brave guy. I'm tough. But I mean, a van smashing through, that scares me. Frankly, I'm not afraid to admit it. All right. So, moving on from the decline and fall of Western civilization, well, wait, so we can't move on. I have to, well, let's just continue. Well, I just mentioned the slaughter in Pakistan this past week. I got a report here from Pamela Geller. She says it may very well be one of Barry Obama's pardons that contributed to, perhaps even led to, the savage slaughter of over 140 children by the Taliban at a school in Pakistan. That's right. Latif Massoud was second in command to the former Pakistan Taliban chief, And just 8 days prior to the slaughter at the school in Pakistan, Barack Obama released the Pakistani Taliban leader, the second in command. And this is the group that claimed responsibility for the massacre in Peshawar. So Obama releases their second in command, who probably is now in command because their first in command was killed by a drone. Yet that was Hakimullah Massoud. He was killed, leaving Latif Massoud second in command. He was captured. Last year, when he was captured, John Kerry said his capture was a major victory in the war on terror. Yeah. He was very proud that this guy had been captured. That was a year ago, and now he's been let go. And about 8 days after we let him go, his organization slaughters a Pakistani school. We arrested this guy, and there's your first mistake, arresting him. People like this shouldn't be arrested. They're summarily killed. This is war. Well, now we let him go. And I just want to remind John Kerry and Barack Obama and anyone else who was involved in the release of this terrorist, that American soldiers died to bring down the Taliban. Pamela Geller says it right here. We should not forget that American soldiers died to bring these terrorist governments down and to capture terrorist leaders like this Massoud character. And Barry's letting them all go. It's just sad and shocking, and we should all be ashamed. Any of you people who voted for Obama, you should hang your heads in shame. I want to go and knock on all my neighbors' doors who had the Obama signs in their yard and just ask them, what were you thinking about? Thanks for destroying the country, idiots. Now, I may not have voted for the Republican alternative, but I didn't vote for Barry either. These people in my neighborhood had his signs in their yard, which is one of the reasons we're moving. Yeah, too many Democrats, too close. Too many liberals right there. You know? So let's move from our latest capitulation to the Taliban and its horrific results. On to the politics file. We'll talk about Cuba and all of that. The report in the Weekly Standard this past week, I think, sums it up best. In the long struggle between the United States and the Castro regime, the Americans have finally blinked. And I think that I don't even know that I need to say any more about it. Pretty well summed up there. They've abandoned officially, at least at the executive level, Barry has blinked. Now, he's not able to lift the embargo via executive memoranda or executive order, at least not yet. Although I think if he tried, that the Republicans would say, okay, yes, thank you, sir, may we have another? I think, yeah. They've pretty much gone into a fetal position where they'll remain until 2016. Well, they'll wake up and they'll act conservative again for a few months in order to bamboozle the voters into hopefully electing one of their people to further destroy the country and continue the efforts toward quantitative sleazing and everything else. Let's see here. Pope Francis, this is in the bad Pope file as well. Pope Francis had issued a letter to Obama and Raul Castro calling on them to pursue a closer relationship. I mean, the Castro, have we forgotten that Fidel and his brother Raul enslaved an entire nation and murdered all their political enemies? Cracked down on free speech and freedom of religion and stole everyone's money? Oh, yeah, we have forgotten that. Okay, sorry to bring it up. I guess we can move on. Now, this does further confirm my suspicion that the Pope is a communist. Now, we already knew that Barry, if he's not a communist, we know that he likes communists. But I think the Pope and the President are communists. And Castro says he's going to remain a communist. He's not going to pursue any kind of reforms. Because why should he? The Pope's a communist. The president's a communist. Raul Castro can be a... Maybe that's it. Maybe that's who Barry will surrender to. He'll surrender America to Raul Castro. That's right. He'll take a boat right into Guantanamo Bay and hand over the flag and the sword and the whole thing. And Castro wins. All right, now I'm joking, of course, but only I'm joking with tongue in cheek, if you can follow that. Try following that. Well, let's move on to the war file. American boots on the ground have engaged ISIS for the first time. Now, you remember what Barry said. We will use air power to degrade and destroy ISIS, but there will be no boots on the ground. No boots on the ground, no boots on the ground. Well, hundreds and hundreds of American boots on the ground at Ain al-Assad military base. Well, there's about 100 military support troops there, and it came under attack by ISIS. And I don't know how this happened, because there wasn't supposed to be boots on the ground, but there are boots on the ground, but only a few hundred, which is terrifying for the people in the boots on the ground. Well, the ISIS terrorists, they launched a surprise attack in all their military might, and a bunch of guys in the rear with the gear repelled their offensive immediately. Yeah, the U.S. troops who, they're actually trained to put gas in F-18s, right? And these are mechanics, and, you know, these are support troops. They repelled these throwback terrorist scum from the Middle Ages. They just wiped them out. Our support troops wiped these guys out, for crying out loud. So, I mean, that's encouraging. So what that tells me is that with a concerted engagement of the American military, we could take care of this problem with ISIS. This report came from the Daily Mail. A tribal leader in the region said U.S. forces fought ISIS out of self-defense. Self-defense? I mean, our boots on the ground, which is actually our men, are subject to surprise attack, and they're not allowed to fight unless it's out of self-defense? This is no way to win a war, Barry. Or I should say, this is no way to win a war, Samantha Power. I think she's actually the one who's running the war there. And now the Peshmerga fighters, well, they're making gains as well. That's the other Islamic army, who are basically raiders, and I've already talked about that. That's who we're aligned with. Yeah, that's just great. Okay, so that's how the war goes. Meanwhile, in America's first loss, in America's first cyber war, The Interview, that's the movie with, who was that? Two adolescent crotch comics. I don't know their names. But you've all heard about this story, right? Yeah, I saw the trailer for the movie because you couldn't avoid it. It was everywhere. I saw the trailer, and anyway, the movie's not going to be shown now. They say Sony has pulled distribution due to security concerns. And what can you say about that? This could be the only good thing to ever come from the actions of Kim Dong-un. He stopped the next adolescent crotch comedy that was set to lower the IQ of the American male. He stopped it. It's the Weekly Worldview. I'm your host, joined in studio today, a special appearance by my extremely attractive audio engineer, picking one of the few sax solos to ever make it to air on the Weekly Worldview. Right here, I have no idea what he was talking about in that song. Just no clue. But you got to respect. You got to respect a band that can go hey hey hey, ho ho ho, right? I mean, there's something to that. Well, he's dead, but those backup singer guys, they're still alive. They were the ones going hey hey hey. Let me make an obscure '80s hair metal reference. They're not an obscure band, but they did a whole verse of a song was nothing but the word whoa. The whole verse. I'm trying to think of the song. Well, I can't. Yeah, the song. Anyway, the band was Motley Crue. And what was the song? I'm not sure which song it was, but the entire verse was nothing but the word whoa. Whoa-ho-ho. Whoa-ho-ho. That's it. That's a verse. Let's put it to music. We'll make a fortune. Anyway, there's something to be said for that. All right, I apologize for the obscure 80s hair metal reference. I know that's offensive to most people, as it should be. We'll move now into the politics file. Attorney General Eric Holder, according to PJ Media, has issued a memorandum stating that cross-dressing, that's right, I said cross-dressing, and transsexualism is now protected under federal civil rights laws. And PJ Media notes that existing federal law provides no statutory support for Holder's assertion. And that's where, I think apparently the proctocracy has decided that it really doesn't matter if there's any statutory support or what the law says or anything. They're just going to allow Barry and Holder to rule by memorandum. Yep. They're just going to let it happen. They've gone into the fetal position and they've decided to just ride it out. And hopefully they'll save America in 2016. They're just going to let the proctocracy roll on via executive orders and memoranda. And it reminds me of an old statement that is oft quoted and appropriately, I think it was Lord Byron who said it. All that is necessary for evil men to prosper is for good men to do nothing. And the good men, the few that are left in the ruling class and the proctocracy, they've decided to do nothing. So the Department of Justice will stop making arguments in litigation suggesting that transgendered people are not covered by Title VII. That's the law that prohibits sex discrimination. That was brought to us in the 60s by the feminists. And now it's being used to promote the queers. Which that tells you that everyone who was suspicious of the feminists back in the 60s, they were right. Ha! So take that. Holder bases his edict. His edict? What country am I living in? You can't have edicts. This is America. I think. Or is it? I guess it was. He bases his edict on a federal Equal Employment Opportunity Commission ruling. A ruling? They ruled on something? They don't have any right to rule. They have any authority to rule over any of us. What is the Equal Employment Opportunity Commission? It's a bureaucracy created by some socialist, humanist scumbag decades ago in order to provide patronage jobs for his family, his misfit nephew, his donors, and his mistresses. And now they're actually ruling over us. It's unbelievable where we've come in such a short time. They have ruled that transvestites and transsexuals are protected by federal law from discrimination against their cross-dressing, gender-switching behavior. Well, that's their ruling. I guess we've got to go with it. I mean, they have equal right there in their name. They must be good. Let's see here. In New York, one male student came to school dressed up in a miniskirt, stilettos, and a pink wig. Well, the school naturally suggested that, well, you might want to go home, number one, and two, you might want to get some counseling, for crying out loud. Well, Eric Holder took him to court. The school district was forced to pay the transvestite $50,000, pay for his counseling services with a psychiatrist who specializes in gay, bisexual, and transgender youth issues. I think that means he's a child molester. Yeah. They also had to hire an expert to review the school's gender expression programs. Gender expression programs? I'm going to call that reason number 862 to get or keep your kids out of the government schools. Right there in the middle of this story. If your school has gender expression programs, I mean, run. You better run, for crying out loud. That's not it. They also forced the school to hire a second expert to conduct annual training on gender identity and gender expression. Again, I think that was another child molester that the school had to hire. The school district capitulated and settled on terms far beyond what the law required. Why? Because they're terrorized by the homosexual mafia and Eric Holder and the proctocracy issuing edicts via memoranda. I mean, we've lost the republic. We've lost the country. Forget about it. It's over. The reporters at PJ Media do go on to note that it requires an act of Congress to change discrimination law. To which I say, okay, that's technically true, but it's operationally false. Yeah. When the hearts of the rulers are godless, wicked, and sexually depraved and evil, man's law has no effect. Only men who revere God's moral code are qualified to lead. And only men who fear God will actually obey the law. We've got a bunch of people in power who, I mean, they're sex-crazed atheist maniacs running the country. And I don't think that's hyperbole. I think it's very accurate. And I think it'll all come out here. I mean, this, here we go. This is, hey, if you think Janet Yellen can do quantitative easing, you should see Eric Holder and Barack Obama do quantitative sleazing. I mean, they really get it done. And there's no sign they're going to ever stop either. With quantitative easing, if you ever stop, the whole economy collapses. With Barry and the sex perverts running the government, if they ever stop, their whole world collapses. They'd have to admit they were wrong. And they're never going to do that. They're too narcissistic. They're too self-absorbed. They're humanists at their heart. And they're going to get us all killed. Let's move on to the culture file. I have a story here on, according to a new study, males prefer low-cost sexual gratification on the web over having a wife and a family. So pornography is replacing the desire among young men in America to get married. Yeah. This is big in Japan right here? Yeah. So this has been going on in Japan for a generation. And this has devastating consequences out in the future for the destabilization of society. The report states that gratification outside of marriage... options for gratification outside of marriage have grown, and the need for marriage is diminishing. And so the study was published by Westchester University of Pennsylvania professor and Germany's Institute for the Study of Labor, and it's pretty obvious. They say pornography is a marriage killer and has monumental negative ramifications for society's future. Okay, and this isn't a right-wing church group. This is a bunch of socialists at the university who can even see the obvious devastation that pornography caused. That's why pornography should be illegal. And those who engage in the production and distribution of pornography should be arrested, and they should be punished to the full extent of the law, and if they do it again, they should be executed. Yes, I know. My extremely attractive audio engineer says they should just be executed. She's kind of extreme. All right. Finally, one more thing from this story. Fine story brought to us by the Washington Examiner. Men aged 25 to 34 are 6 times less likely to be married than that same age group in 1970. That's 40 years. I mean, that's roughly my lifetime. Men 25 to 34, 6 times less likely. And divorce rates are twice what they were in 1950. So as pornography has ascended and been normalized and decriminalized, the American family, which is the foundation of civilization, the American family has declined and been destroyed in so many cases. I mean, go study Michael Brown's life. That the kid who was shot in Ferguson, Missouri, find out what his family life was like. And you'll see he is a perfect representative of the epidemic of the destruction of the American family. All right, let's see. Got a lot of stuff. What time is it here? Superhero comics, which are also a net negative for civilization. Well, now they've expanded into diversity, sexual, racial. Is there any other kind? They'll do that too. Just, yeah, let them know. The new Captain America is black. Superman looks a lot like Barack Obama. Thor is a woman. Spider-Man is half Puerto Rican. Half Puerto Rican. And Miss Marvel is Muslim. Miss Marvel. And they're multicolored, multi-religious, and multi-gendered. Crusaders, what are they crusaders for? Oh, they're crusaders for greater diversity. It used to be Superman was for truth, justice, and the American way. Nope, no, not anymore. Now he looks like Barack Obama. He's half Puerto Rican, he's gay, and he's a crusader for greater diversity. Or something like that. Let's see here. CNS News reports that 65% of American children now live in households taking one or more forms of aid from the federal government. And that's the last data we have, dated 2011. So it's probably 70% by now. Can you believe this? We've become a welfare state. We have become a European welfare state. Children living in households that have never taken federal assistance are now a minority in the United States. Oh, who've never taken. Oh, I bet there's no one living in the United States today who's never taken assistance from the government. Not a single person. Oh, they're saying just children. Okay. As recently as 1970, 85% of American children were living with two parents. But now that's 63%. Yeah. And that's living with two married parents, only 63%. Among children living with one parent, almost half are in poverty. But among children living with two married parents, only 14% were in poverty. So what disturbs me about this story, and I love CNS News, but they're always talking about the economic impacts of everything. But it's, you know, there's other poverty that's more devastating than just financial poverty. There's spiritual poverty. That's the real poverty that happens when the family is broken up, when there's divorce, when there's hatred between mother and father, and hatred that bleeds over and spills over onto the kids. That's real poverty. Because you could be dirt poor, and you can be happy as all get out as a little kid. I know it. I know it to be true. It's the spiritual poverty that the kids suffer. Because as long as they're getting food in their belly, they don't even know what poverty is. And a little kid who's poor and lives in a little mud hut, if he doesn't know any better, he can be happy every day if his mom and dad love each other, and they love him. All right, more statistics. Yes. Well, what's the old saying about statistics? There are data, there are statistics, there are lies, and there are damn lies. No, there are lies, damn lies, and then there's statistics, I believe is how it goes. And here we have some statistics. You decide what they mean. The white people are going to become a minority in America by 2044. White people will be the minority, and the majority will be, well, be Hispanics. There's a huge rise in Hispanics. They're up 25%. No, they'll be up about a 25% increase between now and 2044. The increase in the rate of Hispanic reproduction, roughly double that of black folks. And they say the white population will sustain a continued decrease from starting in 2025 until 2060. The Hispanic populations will more than double. Multiracial persons will more than triple. So the white girls aren't having kids. And the Mexicans are having kids left and right. God bless them. I'm fine with the Mexicans becoming a majority. It's fine by me. It doesn't bother me. And these multiracial people, I'm cool with that. I have multiracial daughters myself. And although I don't consider them of a different race, because I think we're all in the human race. But apparently statisticians and government bureaucrats, they study these things. And you might ask, what about the black folks? Doug, you left out the black folks. Well, unfortunately, black boys and girls will continue to be killed by abortion at rates worthy of Joseph Stalin or Chairman Mao. I mean, some cities like New York, the official rate of abortion of black children in New York, it's approaching 50%. And that's just the official rate that's reported. And, of course, that doesn't count the chemical poisoning of black babies, little boys and girls, with RU486, other chemical abortifacients. So it looks as if Margaret Sanger, the founder of Planned Parenthood, it looks like she has succeeded in her quest to limit the lower races, as they were called by the eugenicists back at the beginning of the 20th century, and as they've been embraced here moving into the 21st century, you'd think that we'd be ready to leave some of that destructive 20th century thinking behind, and that groups like Planned Parenthood would no longer be allowed to function in a civilized world. But that's not where we are. All right. Finally, from the Science Really file, folks out at out in California are working on the Hyperloop. Yeah, they say it's designed to connect cities less than 300 miles apart. We've talked about this before. It's basically a pod inside of a tube that'll go about almost 800 miles per hour. The only resistance would be the air in front of the capsule inside the tube, which technicians have moved to the back of the capsule by using a compressor. These are smart guys. They say a trip from LA to San Francisco would take about a half hour. And because it would be strictly run on solar power, it would only cost $30. Okay, now that part, that might be a little bit sketchy. They say it's going to take about 10 years, $16 billion, and the Hyperloop could become a reality. Well, I hope it does. I mean, we've had a revolution in just about every other kind of technology, but not yet in transportation, so I'm ready. I don't have time to do this story. I'm sorry. That's a bummer. All right. Finally, the European Court of Justice has ruled that obesity can constitute a disability. Yes, they say that obesity hinders the full and effective participation of the obese person in professional life and on an equal basis with other workers, so that fat people are disabled now. Okay. The EU court ruling is binding on European and British employers. It's based on a case brought by a Danish childminder. What's a Danish childminder? I guess that's a babysitter. Anyway, he was fired by his employer because he was too overweight to get the job done, and he got fired. He brought a lawsuit, and he won. The proctocracy is ruling us again, and I got nothing against people who are large. I have no problem. God bless you. But there's some things you're just not going to be able to do, and I don't think you're disabled. Anyway, I guess a fat cross-dresser, yeah, they'll now be granted virtual tenure at any job. Eric Holder's ruled for the cross-dressers, the Europeans. they've ruled for the obese, and well, you'll get virtual tenure at any job, either side of the Atlantic, as long as you're a big fat crossdresser. You got it made in the shade. That's it for the Weekly Worldview this week. I want to thank my friends at KGOV.com, Denver Bible Church, and TheologyOnline.com, and my good friends at American Right to Life. Should the Lord tarry, I'll return with you next week. And until then, may the grace of God go with you, and may the peace of Jesus Christ be upon you. Oh, and I hope you have a Merry Christmas.